వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సమప్రభ నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యషు సర్వదా. శివశక్త్యాయుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం న చేదేవం దేవో న ఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి. అతస్త్వామారాధ్యా హరిహర విరించాదిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కతమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి.
Shri Sai Ram. At the outset, my most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning, greetings, and loving Sai Ram on this Thursday morning on the 20th of February 2020. And you're with me once again, Team Radio Sai Sunil, welcoming you to this morning segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam. Let me, as always, first read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. What is the best way to utilize this time we spend in this school of life? Bhagwan lovingly explains and inspires us today, and I quote, "Do not waste your days entertaining worldly desires and ambitions and planning to achieve them. Success or failure should not elate or depress you. When a banquet is in store for you, why run after the droppings from others' tables? Keep undimmed before you the main goal, the task for which you have come into this school. Do not deviate from it, whatever the attractions that tempt you to stray. Command the mind and regulate your conduct so that the goal is won. Don't let the care of the body or the fostering of the family or the demands of pride and pomp overwhelm the call of the spirit for self-expression. The supreme reality or Shiva, individual, Jiva and the subjective world, Prakriti, are the three principles that confront you. The world has to be utilized by the individual to attain Shiva, which is the fundamental fact in both. Until you get atmic bliss by realizing Shiva, the world will press on you with its weight and will nearly suffocate you. After that, the world will fall off by itself." Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on April 28, 1962. Dear listener, the time right now in our studios is 46 minutes past 9 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. And today in Divine Glory, we'll be continuing with the readings from the English version of the holy book Sri Sai Satcharitra by Sri Hemant Pant, followed by the second part of a Tryst with Divinity conversation with Dr. Narendranath Reddy, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba. But first, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. We are thankful to Vasanthi Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and a blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. Later at 11:30, Bishu will join you with a segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. So please stay tuned. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Chapter 3, Sai Baba's Sanction and Promise, Assignment of Work to Devotees, Baba's Stories as Beacon Light, His Motherly Love, Rohila's Story, His Sweet and Nectar-like Words. Sai Baba's Sanction and Promise. As described in the previous chapter, Sai Baba gave his complete consent to the writing of Sai Satcharitra and said, I fully agree with you regarding the writing of Satcharitra. You do your duty, do not be afraid in the least. Steady your mind and have faith in my words. If my leelas are written, the avidya will vanish, and if they are attentively and devoutly listened to, the consciousness of the worldly existence will abate, and strong waves of devotion and love will rise up. And if one dives deep into my leelas, he would get precious jewels of knowledge. Hearing this, the author was much pleased, and he at once became fearless and confident, and thought that the work was bound to be a success. Then turning to Shama, Madhav Rao Deshpande, Sai Baba said, If a man utters my name with love, I shall fulfill all his wishes, increase his devotion. And if he sings earnestly my life and my deeds, him I shall beset in front and back and all sides. Those devotees who attach to me heart and soul will naturally feel happiness when they hear these stories. Believe me that if anybody sings my leelas, I will give him infinite joy and everlasting contentment. It is my special characteristic to free any person who surrenders completely to me, and who worships me faithfully, and who remembers me and meditates on me constantly. How can they be conscious of worldly objects and sensations who utter my name, who worship me, who think of my stories in my life, and who thus always remembers me? I shall draw out my devotees from the jaws of death. If my stories are listened to, all the diseases will be got rid of. So, hear my stories with respect and think and meditate on them. Assimilate them. This is the way of happiness and contentment. The pride and egoism of my devotees will vanish. The mind of the hearers will be set at rest. And if he has wholehearted and complete faith, he will be one with supreme consciousness. The simple remembrance of my name as Sai, Sai, will do away with sins of speech and hearing. Different works assigned to devotees. The Lord entrusts different works to different devotees. Some are given the work of building temples and mats or ghats on rivers. Some are made to sing the glories of God. Some are sent on pilgrimages. But to me, was allotted the work of writing the Sai Satcharitra. Being a jack of all trades but master of none, I was quite unqualified for this job. Then why should I undertake such a difficult task? Who can describe the true life of Sai Baba? Sai Baba's grace alone can enable one to accomplish this difficult work. So when I took the pen in my hand, Sai Baba took away my egoism and wrote himself his stories. The credit of relating these stories, therefore, goes to him and not to me. Though Brahmin by birth, I lacked the two eyes of Shruti and Smriti, and therefore was not at all capable of writing the Sai Satcharitra. But the grace of the Lord makes a dumb man talk, enables a lame man to cross a mountain. He alone knows the ways of getting things done as he likes. Neither the flute nor the harmonium knows how the sounds are produced. This is the concern of the player. The oozing of Chandrakant jewel and the surging of the sea are not due to the jewel and the sea, but due to the rise of the moon. Baba's stories as beacon light. Lighthouses are constructed at various places in the sea to enable the boatmen to avoid rocks and dangers and make them sail safely. Sai Baba's stories serve a similar purpose in the ocean of worldly existence. They surpass nectar and sweetness and make our worldly path smooth and easy to traverse. Blessed are the stories of the saints. When they enter our hearts through the years, the body consciousness or egoism and the sense of duality vanish. And when they are stored in the hearts, doubts will evade. Pride of the body will fall and wisdom will be stored in abundance. The description of Baba's pure fame and the hearing of the same with love will destroy the sins of the devotee, and therefore this is a simple sadhana for attaining salvation. The sadhana for Krita age was Samadhama, tranquility of the body and mind. For Treta age, sacrifice. For Dwapara, worship. And for the Kali, which is the present age, it is the singing of the name and glory of the Lord. This last sadhana is open to all the people of the four Varnas. The other sadhanas, Yoga Tyaga, which is sacrifice, Dhyan, which is meditation, and Dhyan Dharana, which is concentration, are very difficult to practice. But singing and hearing the stories and glory of the Lord is very easy. We only have to turn attention towards them. The listening and the singing of the stories will remove the attachment to the senses and the objects and will make the devotees dispassionate and ultimately lead them to self-realization. With this end in view, Sai Baba made me write his stories, Satcharitra. The devotees may now easily read and hear these stories of Sai Baba and while doing so meditate on him, his form, and thus attain devotion to Guru and God. Get dispassion and self-realization. In the preparation and writing of this work, Sai Satcharitra, it is Sai Baba's grace which has accomplished everything, making use of me as a mere instrument. Motherly love of Sai Baba. Everybody knows how a cow loves her infant calf. Her udder is always full, and when the calf wants milk and dashes at the udder, out comes the milk in an unceasing flow. Similarly, a human mother knows the wants of a child beforehand and feeds him at her breast in time. In case of dressing and adorning the child, the mother takes particular care to see that this is well done. The child knows or cares nothing about this, but the mother's joy knows no bounds when she sees a child well dressed and adorned. The love of mother is peculiar, extraordinary and disinterested and has no parallel. Sadgurus feel this motherly love towards the disciples. Sai Baba had the same love towards me, and I give an instance of this below. In 1916 I retired from government service. The pension that was settled in my case was not sufficient to maintain my family decently. On Guru Purnima, which is the 15th of Ashad month, on that day I went to Shirdi with other devotees. There, Mr. Anna Chichanikar, of his own accord, prayed to Baba for me as follows. Please look kindly at him. The pension he gets is quite insufficient. His family is growing. Give him some other appointment. Remove his anxiety and make him happy. Baba replied, he will get some other job, but now he should serve me and be happy. His dishes will be ever full and never empty. He should turn all his attention towards me and avoid the company of atheists, irreligious and wicked people. He should be modest and humble towards all and worship me with heart and soul. If he does this, he will get eternal happiness. The question, who is this he whose worship is advocated, is already answered in a note on who is Sai Baba in the prologue at the beginning of this work. Rohila's story. The story of the Rohila illustrates Sai Baba's all-embracing love. One Rohila, tall and well-built, strong as a bull, came to Shirdi wearing a long kafni, and he was enamored of the Sai. Day and night he used to recite in a loud and harsh tone the Kalma, which are the verses from the Holy Quran, and he used to shout, Allahu Akbar, God is great. Most people of Shirdi were working in their fields during the day, and when they returned to their homes at night, they were welcomed were the Rohila's harsh cries and shouts. They could get no sleep and felt much troubled and inconvenienced. They suffered this nuisance for some days in silence, and when they could stand it no longer, they approached Baba and requested him to check the Rohila and stop the nuisance. Baba did not attend to their complaint. On the contrary, Baba took the villagers to task and asked them to mind their own business. He said to them that the Rohila had got a very bad wife who tried to trouble the Rohila and himself. But hearing the Rohila's prayers, she dare not enter, and they were at peace. In fact, the Rohila had no wife, and by his wife, Baba meant Durbuddhi, evil thoughts. As Baba liked prayers and cries to God better than anything else, he took the side of the Rohila and asked the villagers to wait and bear with the nuisance, which would abate in due course. Baba's sweet and nectar-like words. One day at noon after the aarti, devotees were returning to the lodgings when Baba gave the following beautiful advice. Be wherever you like, do whatever you choose. Remember this, all what you do is known to me. I am the inner ruler of all and seated in your hearts. I envelop all the creatures, the movable and the immovable world. I am the controller, the wire puller of the show of this universe. I am the mother, origin of all beings, the harmony of three gunas, the propeller of all senses, the creator, preserver and destroyer. Nothing will harm him who turns his attention towards me, but Maya will lash or whip him who forgets me. All the insects, ants, the visible, movable and the immovable world is my body or form. Hearing these beautiful and precious words, I at once decided in my mind to serve no man henceforth but my Guru only. But the reply of Baba to Anna Chichanikar's query, which was really mine, that I would get some job, began to revolve in my mind, and I began to think whether it would come to happen. As future events showed, Baba's words came true, and I got a government job. But that was of short duration. Then I became free and solely devoted myself to the service of my Guru Sai Baba. Before concluding this chapter, I request the readers to leave out the various hindrances of indolence, sleep, wandering of mind, attachments to senses, and turn their whole and undivided attention to these stories of Sai Baba. Let their love be natural. Let them know the secret of devotion. Let them not exhaust themselves by other sadhanas. Let them stick to the simple remedy, listening to Sai Baba's stories. This will destroy the ignorance and will secure for them salvation. A miser may stay at various places, but he constantly thinks of his buried treasure. So let Sai Baba be enthroned in the hearts of everyone. In the next chapter, I shall speak of Sai Baba's advent in Shirdi. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 4. Sai Baba's first advent in Shirdi. Mission of the saints, Shirdi, a holy tirth, personality of Sai Baba, dictum of Gaulibua, appearance of Vitthal, Shir Sagar's story, Das Ganu's bath in Prayag, immaculate conception of Sai Baba and his first advent in Shirdi, the three vadas. In the last chapter, I described the circumstances which led me to write Sai Satcharitra. Let me now describe the first advent of Sai Baba in Shirdi. Mission of the saints. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that whenever there is a decay of dharma and an ascendancy of unrighteousness, I manifest myself for the protection of the virtuous and the destruction of the vicious. And for the establishment of righteousness, I manifest myself age after age. This is the mission of the Lord and the sages and saints who are his representatives and who appear at appropriate times and work in their own way to fulfill that mission. For instance, when the twice born, the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas neglect their duties, and when the Shudras try to usurp the duties of other classes, when spiritual preceptors are not respected but humiliated, when nobody cares for religious instructions, when everybody thinks himself very learned, when people begin to partake of forbidden foods and intoxicating drinks, when under the cloak of religion people indulge in malpractices, when people belonging to different sects fight amongst themselves, when Brahmins fail to do Sandhya adoration and the Orthodox leave the religious practices, when yogis neglect their meditation, when people begin to think that wealth, progeny, wife are their sole concern and turn away from the true path of salvation, then saints appear and try to set matters at right path by their words and action. They serve as beacon lights and show us the path and the right way for us to follow. In this way, many saints, Nivriti, Dhyandev, Muktabai, Namdev, Gora, Gonai, Eknath, Tukaram, Narahari, Narsibhai, Sajan Kasai, Savata, Ramdas, various others did appear at various times to show the right path to the people and present Advent came as Sri Sai Baba of Shirdi. Shirdi, a holy teerth. The banks of the Godavari River in the Ahmednagar district are very fortunate, for they gave birth and refuge to many a saint, prominent amongst them being Dhyaneshwar. Shirdi also falls in the Kopargaon taluka of the Ahmednagar district. After crossing the Godavari River at Kopargaon, one gets the way to Shirdi. When you travel there 3 kos or 9 miles, you come to Nimgaon, from where Shirdi is visible. Shirdi is as famous and well known as the other holy places like Gangapur, Nrsingavadi, or Dambar on the banks of Krishna River. As the devotee Damoji flourished and blessed Mangal Veda, as Samarth Ramdas at Sajangad, as Sri Nrsingha Saraswati at Saraswati Wadi, so Sainath flourished at Shirdi and blessed it. Personality of Sai Baba. It is an account of Sri Sai Baba that Shirdi grew into importance. Let us see what sort of a person Sai Baba was. He conquered the sansar, which is very difficult and hard to cross. Peace or mental calm was his ornament, and he was a repository of wisdom. He was the home of Vaishnav devotees, most generous amongst all, the quintessence of all essences. He had no love for perishable things and was always engrossed in self-realization, which was his sole concern. He felt no pleasure in the things of this world or of the world beyond. His antarang was as clear as a mirror. His speech always rained nectar. The rich or poor people were the same to him. He neither knew nor cared for honor or dishonor. He was the Lord of all beings. He spoke freely, mixed with all people, watched the actings and dances of notch girls and heard ghazal songs. Still, he swerved not an inch from samadhi. The name of Allah was always on his lips. While the world awoke, he slept. And while the world slept, he was vigilant. His abdomen was as calm as a deep sea. His ashram could not be determined, nor his actions could be definitely predicted. And though he sat in one place, he knew all the transactions of the world. His darbar was imposing. He told daily hundreds of stories. Still, he swerved not an inch from his vow of silence. He always leaned against the wall in the masjid or walked morning, noon and evening towards Lendi and Chavadi. Still, he at all times abided in the self. Though a siddha, he acted like a sadhaka. He was meek, humble, egoless and pleased all. Such was Sai Baba. And as the soil of Shirdi was trodden by Sai Baba's feet, it attained extraordinary importance. As Dhyaneshwar elevated Alandi, Eknath did to Paithan, so Sai Baba raised Shirdi. Blessed are the grass leaves and stones of Shirdi, for they could kiss the holy feet of Sai Baba and take his dust on their head. Shirdi became to us devotees another Pandharpur, Jagannath, Dwarka, Banaras, Rameshwar, Badri Kedar, Nasik, Trayambakeshwar, Mahakaleshwar, Mahabaleshwar, Gokarn. Contact of Sai Baba and Shirdi was like our study of Veda and Tantra. It quietened our sansar and rendered self-realization. The darshan of Sri Sai was a yoga sadhana, and talk with him removed all our sins. Shampooing his legs with a bath in Triveni Prayag and drinking the holy water of his feet destroyed our sins. To us, his commands were Vedas, and accepting his udi and prasad was all purifying. He was a Sri Krishna and Sri Ram who gave us solace. He was a Parabrahma. He was himself beyond the pair of Dvandvas, never dejected nor elated. He was always engrossed in his self as existence, knowledge and bliss. Shirdi was his center, but his field of action extended far beyond to Punjab, Kolkata, North India, Gujarat, Dhaka and Konkan. Thus the fame of Sai Baba spread far and wide, and people from all parts came to take his darshan and be blessed. By mere darshan, minds of people, whether pure or impure, would become quiet at once. They got here the same unparalleled joy the devotees got at Pandharpur by seeing Vitthal Rakumai. This is not an exaggeration. Listen to what a devotee says in this respect. Dictum of Gaulibuva. An old devotee by name Gaulibuva was about 95 years old. He was a Varkari of Pandari. He stayed 8 months at Pandharpur and 4 months from Ashad to Karthik on the banks of the Ganges. He had an ass with him for carrying his luggage and a disciple as his companion. Every year he made his vari or trip to Pandharpur and came to Shirdi to see Sai Baba, whom he loved very much. He used to stare at Baba and say, "This is Pandharinath Vitthal incarnate, the merciful lord of the poor and helpless." This Gaulibuva was an old devotee of Vithoba and had made many a trip to Pandhari, and he testified that Sai Baba was real Pandharinath. Vitthal himself appeared. Sai Baba was very fond of remembering and singing God's name. He always uttered Allah Malik, and in his presence made others sing God's name continuously, day and night, for all 7 days of the week. This is called Naam Sapta. Once he asked Das Ganu Maharaj to do the Naam Sapta. Das Ganu replied he would do it, provided he was assured that Vitthal would appear at the end of the 7th day. Baba, placing his hand on his chest, assured him that certainly Vitthal would appear. But for that, the devotee must be earnest and devout. The Dhankapuri of Dakurnath, the Pandri of Vitthal, the Dwarka of Ranchod is here. One need not go far out to see Dwarka. Will Vitthal come here from outside place? Why, he is here. Only when the devotee is bursting with love and devotion, Vitthal will manifest himself in Shirdi here. After the Sapta was over, Vitthal did manifest himself in the following manner. Das Ganu was as usual sitting in meditation after the bath, and he saw Vitthal in a vision. When he went at noon for Baba's darshan, Baba asked him point blank, "Did Vitthal Patil come? Did you see him? He is a very truant fellow. Catch him firmly, otherwise he'll escape even if you are a little inattentive." This happened in the morning, and at noon there was another Vitthal darshan. One hawker came there for selling 25 or 30 pictures of Vithoba. This picture exactly tallied with the figure that appeared in Kaka Sahib's vision. On seeing this and remembering Baba's words, Kaka Sahib Dikshit, or Das Ganuzi was called, was much surprised and delighted. He bought one picture of Vithoba and placed it in his shrine for worship. Bhagwant Rao Shisagar's story. How fond was Baba for Vithal worship was illustrated in Bhagwant Rao Shisagar's story. The father of Bhagwant Rao was a devotee of Vithoba and used to make varis or annual trips to Pandharpur. He also had an image of Vithoba at home, which he worshipped. After his death, the son stopped everything, the vari, the worship and the Shraddh ceremony. When Bhagwant Rao came to Shirdi, Baba, on remembering his father, at once said, "His father was my friend, so I dragged him here. He never offered Naivedya, and so he starved Vitthal and me. I have brought him here now, and I shall remonstrate him and set him to worship." Das Ganu's bath in Prayag. The Hindus think that a bath in the holy Tirth of Prayag, where the Ganga and Yamuna meet, is very meritorious, and thousands of pilgrims go there at periodical times to have a sacred bath there. Once Das Ganu thought he should go to Prayag for a bath, and he came to Baba to get his permission from doing so. Baba replied to him, "It is not necessary to go so far. Our Prayag is here, believe me." Then wonder of wonders, when Das Ganu placed his head on Baba's feet, out flowed streams of Ganga Yamuna water from both the toes of Baba. Seeing this miracle, Dasgunu was overwhelmed with feelings of love and adoration, and he was full of tears. Inwardly, he felt inspired, and his speech burst forth into a song in praise of Baba and his leelas.
Tune in to Sight. Spend the Day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram. Welcome to a fresh episode of Tryst with Divinity, a series of conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. Today you are going to listen to the second part of a conversation with Dr. Narendranath Reddy, which was recorded in the studios of Radio Sai on November 27th, 2012, just a couple of days after Baba's 87th birthday. Dr. Reddy is a very familiar figure in Prashanthi Nilayam, having come to the lotus feet when he was just 5 years old in the year 1950. 4 generations of Dr. Reddy's family are devotees of Bhagwan, and for more than 25 years, Dr. Reddy and his family have had a Sai Baba center in their home. Apart from being the chairman of the Prashanthi Council, which oversees the activities of the Sai organizations worldwide, he is also the chairman of the International Medical Committee of the Sri Satya Sai Organization, as well as a director of the Sri Satya Sai World Foundation. Personally, Dr. Reddy graduated in medicine with distinction from SV Medical College in Tirupati, Andhra Pradesh, and then moved on to the US when he specialized in internal medicine at the New Jersey College of Medicine and Dentistry. Later, he did his subspecialization in endocrinology and metabolism at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine, New York. He has been a consultant and a practicing internist endocrinologist in Southern California for over 30 years, a fellow of the American College of Physicians and the American College of Endocrinologists. He is also on the teaching faculty at the Keck School of Medicine, University of Southern California. More significant than any of this, Dr. Reddy has been blessed with innumerable opportunities directly from Bhagwan to serve him in his mission in various important capacities, and this continues even today as he heads the Prashanthi Council of the International Sai Organization. So dear listeners, welcome now to the second part of a conversation recorded with him on November 27th, 2012. A few days after Baba's 87th birthday. In the first part, he had given a brief overview of some of the moving scenes of love and service he had witnessed all over the world in the past 2 years. And as his conversation moves on, he now shares about how the International Sai Organization is preparing for the future and what are the key elements that every member of the Sai Organization would do well to never lose sight of. In conversation with him, dear listeners, is Radio Sai's Bishop Prishti.
As I see the role of the organization now, in my just limited perspective, I just see there are twofold. One is you have to make every Sai center a perfect place for the spiritual upliftment for every individual. Because anyone who steps inside any Sai center should feel that this is the place best for my spiritual growth. At the same time, we have to also ensure that the message of universal love and selfless service, it reaches out to more people out there. Because we know, even though the Sai movement has grown to 115 countries and there are millions of devotees, we don't know how many devotees of Baba. And the definition of devotee, as we discussed also, is such a dicey thing. But perhaps there are millions who have heard about Bhagwan, but there are still billions who have not heard about Bhagwan and who are still grappling with so many problems, restlessness in their minds, and we are talking about somehow bringing a positive difference in the world. So message has to go out, the message of selfless love and service has to go out to this wider community out there. So how do you think the organization is gearing up in both these directions? One is you make the Sai centers perfect spiritual places for one's advancement. At the same time, you have to take the message to the wider community out there.
I think it is very important, our obligation and duty, when Swami has given
his name to this organization, his sacred name, how we can spread his messages, our duty to do that, how best we can do by his blessings and grace, because this is a unique, another thing unparalleled is in avatar, during the time of avatar itself, this organization start many things like Ramakrishna Mission started after Sri Ramakrishna left, and Shirdi Sai movement after Shirdi Sai. But here, during the lifetime of the avatar, the organization has started, and we are blessed and fortunate to have received guidance from Swami how to do the activities. So with regard to that, in the international organization, number one, because Swami says we all have to be clear, what is the purpose of Satya Sai organization? Swami has clearly mentioned, to make us realize our inherent divinity. We should never forget, sometimes we get sidetracked by the surveys, bhajans, but the whole purpose is to make us realize that we are divine, we are embodiments of Atma, we are embodiments of love, and help others realize the same. That is the whole purpose. How best you do that? That is why we have study circles, we have service activities, we have bhajans, public meetings. So one by one I will tell you. First is I tell the Satya Sai Center is a place where we study in depth Swami's teachings. And the best way to spread Swami's message, Swami himself has written to one of the devotees, which I have always carry a copy, is to translate his message into your daily life. Once we are transformed, people at home, at work, in the community see us, and that is the best way to spread Swami's message. Number one is dive deep into his teachings and translate his message into your life. Exemplars. Second thing is more practical, because is doing service activities, doing the service in the community, into either medical camps, or feeding the poor, or giving the clothes, or giving shelter, whatever people need. If you do that, I have seen many places without proselytization talking about Swami. Once you see this selfless loving service, people ask, hey, who is this person who is doing this? Then we tell about Swami, and then the people get. So there is another way you can do is by service activities. And third thing is, in a lot of places like in UK, in USA, in Singapore, we are doing is this interfaith meetings, interfaith conferences, where we invite people from different denominations and faiths like Muslim, Hindu and Buddhist. And actually you can see in the annual report in Canada, one of the meetings is the interfaith conferences.
Yes, the Scarborough Center.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful picture.
Yes, that is
all the religious
all
heads.
The religious. So we are doing it Canada, USA, UK, all over, to show that this is not a cult. This is where we talk about the harmony of religions. That is why in the past people say you should have tolerance for religion. I said there is one level. Ours is the higher level. That means we embrace all religions. We have harmony of religions. We take the best of all, because the values are the same. Because that is what Swami emphasizes. That is why we have Sarvadharma symbol. And that is why in Prashanti Nilayam or overseas, we celebrate all festivals. We celebrate Buddha Purnima, we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Eid, we celebrate Hindu festivals. That is the uniqueness of the Satya Sai organization. On that basis, we are trying more and more to have a universal appeal to Satya Sai centers, particularly in the overseas context. It's very important, because when somebody comes in the Sai center where the function is there, they shouldn't feel this is Hindu, because Swami is beyond Hindu. Swami is for all. That is very clearly he said, there is only one religion, religion of love. So when they walk into the center, they should see this is a place where there is love and where there is harmony, instead of feeling this is a place where ritualism is there. Swami said from ritual, you should go to spiritual. That is why we emphasize in Sai centers, even the altars. Just Swami, one time when Dr. Hislop asked Swami, what should he put in the altar? If you want, you don't need any picture at all, because God is beyond name, form and attributes. But if at all you want to have a picture, have my picture, because I am here. And then you can have a Sarvadharma picture. It could be flexible. I am not saying that is the only way the altar is, but this is what Swami gave. So you should try to see, depending upon the culture and the local needs, as much as possible, you should have a universal appeal, whether you are the way you have the altar, we have the seating, or whether you are singing songs. And also that should be appeal to the local people. Like, for example, you are singing Sanskrit or Hindi in Germany, Italy, or in Argentina. The people get turned off. So what we are encouraging and people are doing is, in those countries, they sing bhajans in Spanish, in Italy, Italian, in German, Germans. So like that, we try to adapt to the local thing so that it is universal appeal. And the next one is we arrange public meetings where not only the devotees, it is open for all public, where we talk mainly on the message of Swami. In devotees meetings, we love to talk about the leelas of Swami, divine sports. That is what makes us, gives us joy in addition to the message. But in these public meetings, we mainly talk about the message of Swami and his works, his humanitarian works, because there nobody can question the amount of service which is being done through education and free medical service and community service. That is another thing. And another thing we are doing is electronic. Nowadays, this is the day of electronic media. You should see this Love in Action website, which Dr. David Grease was facilitated along with some other IT people, where we put Love in Action. Is mostly it is service activities around the world. So we have just started it, and it is being improved every time. So the websites we have, and then the other publications we do, and develop the DVDs like his work we did, like that we are going to do more. I think you Radio Sai, and you have also developed many things like that. So this is the way. And by the way, though we may talk later on, Radio Sai is another great instrument in spreading Swami's message, and that is helping. Whenever people talk, I said, go and listen to Radio Sai, whether they want to know the message, whether they want to learn bhajans, or whether any angle of what is happening in Prashanthi Nilayam. So that is a great resource. So this is how we are spreading the message of Swami and also his love.
And as we look at the future of the organization, and the organization taking up so many outreach activities, what steps you think the organization has taken towards infusing a lot more youth into positions of influence, in the sense that when we see so much of enthusiasm in the youth, do you see them really taking over the baton in many areas?
Yes, I think we had by Swami's blessings and guidance, in 2007 we had that International Youth Conference in Prashanthi Nilayam, where about 6,000 youth participated, and Swami took a lot of interest, gave the discourses to them, gave the guidance, and people were in ecstasy that time, very happy. And after that, really took a big leap momentum forward, and a lot of countries now, we have the youth leaders. So in this, we have international youth coordinator, and each zone, they have their own coordinators. So the youth are taking active part by seeing the needs, how they can participate in the organization. First, they used to have their own movement. So they used to have their own study circle, their own meetings. Then we encourage them to participate in the organization. And in many parts of the world, these youth leaders who have been leaders before, now they are presidents at the regional level. Like in the USA, like Dr. Hari Kanjivaram, he was a youth leader. Now he's a regional president in that Chicago area. And same thing in Ivan in Europe. He was a youth leader. Now they are central coordinator. Same thing in South America. There are some people who are youth leaders. Now they have council presidents. So there are a lot of people, depending upon their commitment and ability, are being identified and groomed into a higher position of responsibility in the organization. And we are hoping to do even more, because it is very important the youth should take the lead. And Swami says they are the future, and we are looking forward more and more active participation by the youth. By the way, already it is in the process. But what we are doing is, depending on the talent and ability, we identify whether they are good at the leaders at the center level, or at the regional level, or national level, or zonal or international level. After our assessment, we give them responsibilities in these roles.
And where do you see the role of the alumni of She's at the Sai Institute of Higher Learning.
Yes, there's a big role. Actually, Swami, almost 15 years ago, I clearly remember in Vrindavan, when we were there, Prashanti Council members, Swami called us for a little chit-chat session, and he had some lunch with us, and then he mentioned, you should bring in the alumni into the mainstream of the organization. And even at that time, I presented to Swami, particularly with reference to USA, the number of alumni they are there, and Swami said they should try to join the mainstream of the organization. And I have been questioning and appealing to the alumni, please join the mainstream. Now, slowly they have joined, though they are doing their own way, their own work. Even recently in USA, they had an alumni meet about a month ago or so. And there were some people, they sent me the report of what they did, the very nice meeting they had. But I said they need to take part in the mainstream. And some of them are service coordinators, devotional coordinators. So they are taking more active part. But I think we need to work on that to have much more active role in the Sat Sai organization, because you are unique opportunity to have lived with God. So they have exposed directly to Swami's teachings and Swami's love. So they can really be contributing much more, because a lot of devotees look up to the Sat Sai students. There is a big qualification. Once we say they graduate from Sat Sai University or Sat Sai Institute of Higher Learning, they have a lot of respect. They look forward to their example. So I think we should encourage alumni to take more active participation. They are doing that, but I prefer them much more than what is being done.
You know, as we are talking about the organization, one thing many times which confuses many people is what is Prashanti Council and what is Sri Sathya Sai World Foundation? Because both are, we say, governing bodies of International Sai Organization. Both are overseeing the activities of the Sai Organization activities worldwide. So what is actually the difference between Prashanti Council and the Sri Sathya Sai World Foundation?
In fact, Prashanti Council is the one which was first formed by Swami in 2004 as the supreme body of the international organization, which is the one which is the administrative, executive body and managing body running the day-to-day work of the organization. But subsequently in 2006, as per Swami's instructions and our appeal, we felt there is a need for this World Foundation, which is a legal entity, which takes care of mainly the legal and financial matters of the organization. Because, for example, I told you the Haiti, we had the disaster. So we need the funds to support those relief efforts. So we need to receive the funds, whereas Prashanti Council cannot receive that. Whereas this World Foundation is a registered charitable organization, which is registered in USA, which can receive the funds which are tax deductible for the donor, and then this will be used for the relief efforts. Similarly, it is also takes care of the legal matters. Sometimes we need to give the copyright permission for publications, books and certain matters, and also give some guidance in certain various charitable trusts in different countries to give legal guidance. So in that issue, it takes care of this. Mainly it is confined to the legal and financial matters of the organization, and also whenever we need certain guidelines for certain works in the organization, we form ad hoc committees which comes up with the guidelines which are finally implemented by the Prashanti Council. But Prashanti Council, as clearly in the recent guidelines which we circulated all over the world, actually I sent it only 2 months ago, it very clearly spells out, it is the executive, managing and administrative body of the organization. It is the one which runs day to day the various activities, whether it is the devotional activities, service activities, educational, youth, everything is, they are the one day to day managed by the national council presidents, then the central coordinators, deputy central coordinators, zonal chairs. Those are the people who run the thing, and they are the one who arrange the officers' meeting, come up with the reports. So that is the main role of the Prashanti Council and World Foundation. Hope it makes it clear. Even some of the senior devotees get mixed up. So World Foundation is the governing body of the organization, summarizing, taking care of the legal and financial matters mainly. And then Prashanti Council is the executive, management and administrative body, simply summarizing.
Yeah, that kind of makes it very clear. For all practical purposes, overseeing of all the activities is done by the Prashanti Council.
Yes.
And recently, just yesterday, we got this news that effective from 24th November 2012, Mr. Gary Bells has been appointed as the chairman of the World Foundation. You remain the chairman of Prashanti Council. Now there is a new chairman for Sri Satya Sai World Foundation. And Mr. Gary Bells was a founding member of Clinton Global Initiative, and he was on the White House Task Force for South Asia during the Clinton years. So he's definitely such an eminent personality. He has served on many boards, including the Board of Regents of Columbia College of Chicago, in the Convention and Visitors Bureau of Memphis, and he was also on the board of several music industry associations. So it's really very heartening, I think, for everyone in the Sai fraternity to see a person of this much experience and person who has worked handling such important positions along with Bill Clinton take over as the chairman of the World Foundation. How does it feel for you?
Yes, it is really wonderful. Everything is happens in Swami's time. So when Swami appointed the board of directors, he appointed Mr. Dora and Dr. Ramakrishna and Gary Bells. And when he appointed them along with me and Dr. Goldstein, Swami mentioned these are men of stature. And he is really has a wide, all-rounded personality. He is a successful businessman, and he is also has political contacts with good initiatives for the humanitarian projects. And also he is instrumental and also published this Miracle of Love along with Dr. Venkatraman, which was released recently, which is a wonderful piece of work of Swami's glory and Swami's mission. But unique thing about him, I like him, is two things, because I have known him for many years. He is very straightforward, like what Swami talks about, harmony of thought, word and deed. He practices that, what he thinks, what he says and what he does, there is harmony. And another unique quality about his humble, humility, these two are wonderful characters I have seen in him. And I'm looking forward to working closely with him so that we can take Sai movement forward. We can serve more and more people and spread Swami's message to many more. So I'm looking forward to this wonderful relationship.
There is so much of optimism, because we talked about so many activities happening in various corners of the world, and now there is this news. There is an air of optimism here, and that is really something which will gladden every Sai devotee. Now let me ask you something else. In your all these years of association with Bhagwan, there must have been some instructions of Swami which you can never forget. Because in our times of low, in our times when we really needed something to hold on to, we hold on to that, you know, one particular conversation or one particular interaction that we had with Bhagwan. Is there anything like that that you really fall back upon?
Yes, one thing is like our, even for our family, we take this message of Swami, and we every day is a part of our prayer. That is our family prayer, which Swami gave the message, and we ruminate about it, contemplate it, and repeat it every day. I can just tell that this beautiful thing, which is for any spiritual seeker, for me it touched my heart when Swami said that many years ago. It goes like this: Satatam Yoginaha. Always be a yogi. Be calm, cool, unruffled by good fortune or bad, because you are a puppet making motions and contortions according to the pulls he gives to the strings. Be calm in speech and manners. Don't inflict injury or insult on others, or neither be affected by any adverse comments, remarks or deed made by others. For everyone and everything is ordained by God. It is His sport, His play. So enjoy it and be happy. So whenever things happen, it summarizes the whole thing and I feel happy. This is a particular message Swami gave. Family prayer and our grandchildren, our children, and we. And one time for my birthday, my daughter made it a nice print and framed it and presented it to me. I was very happy. So this is a very important message. Actually, it looks simple, but if you go deep and practice that, it gives you so much peace and joy in our working at other, in the community or in the organization or professional work. So I find it very comforting. When
you handle so many important positions in the organization apart from in your professional life, and there must have been times which are really when you are pushed to a corner. May I ask you, what is your mantra in times of adversity?
It is a very good point, because actually for me the mantra is, whatever happens, happens by God's will. This is for my good. This is for my good. So I trust in Swami, accept whatever happens and surrender to Him. So that the mantra is, whatever happens, happens by God's will and this for my good. So and that really helps a lot, because we all know some things in our own judgment or logic we think this is not good. But ultimately if we remember this, really it turns out, I have seen it many times, turns out for the ultimate good. That is my mantra.
And how do you balance your time, energy and resources juggling between Sai work and your professional work? Because you've been traveling so much, not only now, I think for so many years you've been so much involved in Sai activities, and of late probably you've been traveling more than ever, and that would be affecting your professional work in your hospital. How do you really manage both?
So number one, I think I found in my personal experience, which Swami Himself said, is if you do my work, I will do your work. So if I'm doing Swami's work, so everything else gets taken care of. Another thing is, Swami says, one time He told our family, we had an interview, Swami says, as long as you think something is secular and something is sacred, you will never have peace of mind. Everything, there is nothing, but everything is divine work. We should have that. Don't try to separate something is secular, something is sacred. So whether I take care of my family, whether I see my patients in the office, or whether I take care of my organizational work, even mundane activity, everything becomes God's work. So that is why work becomes worship. And also I have a practical experience, like now as you are mentioning, I travel quite a bit. And patients won't like it that you go often, so often. Doctor, you are going again on your vacation. But one thing though, they're happy that I don't go on playing golf or just tourism. I show them, it is a wonderful thing, these reports. I show them, you see, I'm helping these people. Oh, then you should go more often. So that helps me to, that you are doing Swami's work. And second thing I find is, as a doctor particularly, not like other businesses, whenever you are going away, your patients, somebody else has to take care of them. And sometimes they are very sick people. So, and whenever any doctor takes care or covers your practice when you are gone, if you are going too often, they would not like it. And because you need to reciprocate, you need to cover them if you are gone. And by Swami's grace, my good fortune, Swami provided me a doctor. He says, Dr. Reddy, tell me whenever you go, I will take care. And he has been doing it for many years. And people surprised, how is this man doing that? That is really showing that Swami is telling, you do my work, I will provide you all the other things. And also on Thursdays, we have Sai meetings in our house every Thursday. And people know, I for me, highest priority is that. And any important meetings in the hospital, everything is, somehow doesn't happen that evening, they postpone or something happens, to show that if you really have commitment, Swami will make it happen. That is what I have a clear personal experience. So we need to give the highest priority to Him. Sai first, everything else next. Then He will make it happen like that.
Fantastic. As we conclude, I was thinking maybe you can share 2-3 beautiful, unforgettable moments that you have had with Bhagwan, because in your almost 60 years of association with Swami, there must be moments, so many of them, which are indelible. But maybe you can share with us 2 moments that you can never forget.
One thing I can share is Swami's protection, love and omnipresence. This happened, I think approximately 10-12 years ago, I can't remember exactly, this happened in Arcadia, California, where we live. And now my parents have been living with us. And this happened that time, my father one day, suddenly in the early morning, he got convulsions, seizures. And fortunately in America, when you call ambulance or paramedics, they came within 5 minutes. My mother naturally, she got panicky. She didn't even want to come to the scene. But she went to the altar and the puja room and then held on to Swami's padukas tightly, was praying, Swami, save my husband. So then we took my father to the hospital, and by her prayers, her Swami's grace, he recovered within 24 hours, because the neurologist, the doctor suspected he may have a brain tumor, because an elderly man having a convulsions, usually it is some tumor or brain. So within 24 hours he recovered, came home, and he was well. Then few months after that I came to Prashanthi Nilayam. I expressed gratitude to Swami. Swami, you saved my father. My mother is very grateful. He wanted me to thank you. He says, what can I do? Your mother was holding my feet so tight. She was not leaving, so I had to take care of him. That really tears came to my eyes to show I know he's taking care, but that her holding onto his feet in the puja room. So it is not just, he says, I am with you, above you, behind you. It is really a fact that he is with us. And Swami showed us that he knows that she was holding his feet. And really I was touched and related to that, to her. And she was so grateful and happy. So this is a wonderful thing to know, that he takes care of us wherever we are. With sincerity and longing heart we pray to him.
In fact, the other day, we received a mail from him, Dr. Adivi Reddy, and he had written how he has been listening to Radio Sai constantly and how that is giving him a lot of comfort, because he says that he is 92 years now, and he says he could no longer move about to take the books and read while lying on the bed, but 6 months back when Radio Sai was set up near his bed, after that, life has become very easy for him. He said, I am able to enjoy all the programs happening in all the parts of the globe while lying on my bed throughout the day.
Yes, I think
that is such a really heartening message.
Yes,
for us.
Because he is a great reader. He's a scholar, actually. He wrote that books, Nine Gems, you know, nine series of books of on Swami, just within a course of 6 months. To write a book, it takes so long. Nine books he wrote within short time, and Swami blessed. I think it was released on his Swami's 75th birthday. So he is an avid reader, but now he is bedridden, he can't. Now the Radio Sai is a source of solace. He goes to Telugu bhajan stream, or Telugu discourses, or Swami's discourses in English and all that. And let me tell you, this Radio Sai, the service it is doing is amazing and wonderful, because it is not just at our home. Wherever I travel, whether I go to Argentina, whether I go to Italy, or whether I go to Europe or Canada, wherever it is, these so many people's lives are touched. In our own home, we have got 2-3 places this Radio Sai simultaneously going on, because particularly in the last year or so, I have seen some programs, particularly Telugu program, and Radio Sai has improved so much. And it is right now, actually, my wife, whenever somebody's birthday, if the Sai devotee, she gives them a nice present of radio where they can hear the Radio Sai, and then after a while they really appreciate. This is the greatest gift. This is really wonderful work that is being done by. I congratulate all of you for this wonderful service you are doing.
Yeah, your ideas and suggestions to make this service better is always welcome, sir.
Yes.
And we just hope that more and more people listen to this, because the whole purpose of Radio Sai is people listen to Bhagwan's message.
Yes.
And if that is happening, there is nothing more greater and heartening news for us.
Yes, actually, I heard one senior devotee, she was dying of brain cancer, and I was told that Swami sent her a message at the last moments, you don't need to do anything, just listen to the bhajans and Swami's discourses. I used to tell my mother also same thing. She is no more now. She passed away about 8 months, 9 months ago. I told her, just listen to Swami's discourses. That is what my father is doing, bhajans and discourses. And really that itself is the greatest sadhana, and Radio Sai is part of it. That is really helpful for a lot of people. That is wonderful.
Finally, sir, what is your message to all in the Sai fraternity? We have just celebrated Bhagwan's 87th birthday. What would you like to say to all the devotees out there?
So first, it is very important we need to realize how blessed and fortunate all of us are to be the contemporaries of this living and loving avatar. So only posterity will say how blessed are these people who have seen him, touched him, and heard him, and experienced his love. During my travel around the world, I observed certain things among the devotees. So I want to bring down mainly five important points which I want to share with the devotees, the fellow pilgrims in the spiritual path. Number one, we have seen the highest teacher of teachers, the universal teacher, God himself come as a teacher, and we should never leave him. Because Swami, in his infinite love and compassion, on May 17th, 1968, he gave in the first world conference in Mumbai, the conference which every devotee should read, where he said, in this human form, every divine principle, every divine entity, that is to say, all the names and forms ascribed by man to God are manifest. Do not allow any doubt to distract you, and you have the great fortune to experience the bliss of the vision of the Sarva Devata Swarupa, the form which is all forms of God. This is Swami's own words. So having seen this, we should hold on to his feet till our last breath. That is my appeal. That is why Swami's first bhajan was Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam. You hold on to his feet, then we reach the goal of our life. And we should never get distracted to any other guru. Just we have seen the highest. That I tell people, once you go to the Mount Everest, you don't go to small hillocks. Now we have experienced teacher of teachers, God himself. We should hold on to him. That is number one. Number two, we have seen Swami's message. Swami in the same discourse said, the best way to serve me and reach the summum bonum of life is just follow my instructions. That will give you more benefit than all the austerities you do. Just following my message. What is his message? He always calls us Divya Atma Swarupulara, Prema Swarupulara. That means he wants us to realize that we are the embodiments of divine Atma and love. How do we do that? To dive deep into his teachings. That is why I tell people, we don't need to read any books. Lifetime is limited. I said, Swami's every word is a mantra. Every sentence is a sutra, aphorism. Every conversation of Swami is like a Gita. And every discourse of Swami is like a Veda. What all we need is to dive deep. And we are lucky that Swami has given 1500 divine discourses. And he has written so many Vahini series with his own hand. That is why this is a history. Never God has himself spoken words and written words. He himself took the pains to write. Starting Prema Vahini, Gita Vahini, Bhagavata Vahini, Ramkatha Rasa Vahini, Sutra Vahini, I can go on, Jnana Vahini, Dharma Vahini, so many Vahinis. So just we take time to dive deep into this, and more importantly, put into practice, there is no other sadhana needed. That is very important. People take Swami's message seriously, and not waste into looking this book, this book. I tell people, devotees, sir, should I read this book? I said, did you finish reading this? Once you finish reading, this Satsai Speaks and Vahini, come back to me, I will tell you which book to read. So because that itself is the ocean, it is the essence of all scriptures, I would say. Swami's words are essence of all scriptures, quintessence of all Vedanta. So that is why there's a second very important point I want to share. And the third thing is, everybody wants to do spiritual practices. Somebody wants Upasana Yoga, Kriya Yoga, Hatha Yoga. Swami gave a very clear instruction. The best royal road in this age is Prema Yoga. The best yoga, Swami said, that is the royal road to liberation. Swami says the source is love, the path is love, and the goal is love. That is why he always says, God is love, live in love. So we need to practice that Prema Yoga. That is the first Vahini Swami wrote to show the example is Prema Vahini. That is the first Vahini series to show how the royal road is Prema. That is the third important point I want
As you were saying this, I'm reminded of an incident from Swami Vivekananda's life. So one of the young monks once went to Swami Vivekananda and said that he's not able to make progress in spiritual life. And he said that, you know, he worshipped many images and he followed the advice of one teacher. That he tried to make his mind void and etc., etc. But he's not able to attain that peace of mind. So one day he went to Swami Vivekananda and said, "Swamiji, I sit in meditation, I shut the door of my room, I keep my eyes closed as long as I can, but somehow I am not able to find peace of mind. Can you please show me the way?" Then what Swami Vivekananda says is really interesting. He says, "My boy, if you take my word, first of all, what you have to do is open the door of your room." And then he says, "Open the door of your room, look around, and instead of closing your eyes, open your eyes, go out. There are hundreds of poor and helpless people in your neighborhood. You have to serve them to the best of your ability."
That is Prema Yoga. That is why Swami also says, don't seek God. See God. That means see God with both eyes closed, that is within you, and eyes open. That is the ultimate. In the beginning, we close our eyes and try to see God in our own heart. But really, ultimately, you should see God with eyes closed, eyes open, and that is what Swami Vivekananda is saying. And see God in everybody, so not just only in thing and serving the needy, serving the poor. That is the Prema Yoga. Swami says, practice the love. That is the main. And the fourth point I want to emphasize is that this is the land, the Prashant Nilayam. I'm talking from Prashant Nilayam. This is the holiest of the holy lands. I clearly remember an incident. This happened about 20 years ago when they used to have flights those days from Mumbai to Prashant Nilayam. So we were flying, and then there was a devotee from Denmark. So as soon as we got out of the plane, we were taking our luggage, and suddenly I saw this man. He was rolling on the airport ground. I was thinking, hallelujah, I have come to the holy land. This man from Denmark, he's rolling on the ground and put up at the airport and
oh
saying, hallelujah, I have come to the holy land. My God, we don't take it everything granted, because we all as Sai devotees, we should remember, this is the holiest of the holy places. In Buddhist tradition, they say, if you go to Lumbini, where Lord Buddha was born, or you go to Sarnath, where he gave his first discourse, or you go to the place where he was enlightened, or where he gave up his body. So any of those places you go is equivalent to having the vision of Lord Buddha, because Lord Buddha himself said that. Here we have a place, this holy land, where the Lord chose to take birth as Lord Bhagavan Baba, Satchinarayan Raju, where he walked amongst us, talked to us, laughed with us, sang with us, blessed us, and gave many, many wonderful divine discourses and nectarine message. So he has done. And this is the place where he chose to give away his body. So this is thrice blessed. Everything, he chose to be born here, gave up his body, and walked amongst us. So here I mention, the air, the water, the stone, the bushes, everything is saturated with these divine love and blessings. And Swami's own words, this is the, will be like another Shirdi or another Tirupati or Mecca or Jerusalem. So we should all, as Sai devotees, we should have that connection with this holy land of Puttaparthi, the Prashant Nilayam. That is why now I'm happy to see a lot of overseas devotees, they come here to celebrate their festival still of Buddha Purnima.
In fact, the Parthi Yatras go on.
Goes on, pilgrimage. So I think that we need to continue encourage. That is our good fortune. So still we feel the presence of, I have been
I
here
think
for
people
a few
come days. Because they feel that presence.
Yes, you feel the presence. So we miss that physical form, but still we can feel the presence. Actually, some people said, now they can much more easily contemplate, because each one has their own Swami. In the old days, you see Swami physically coming. Oh, he did not take my letter. He looked at him. He didn't look at me. You compare. Now there is no, everybody has the same access to Swami depending upon your purity. So that is why another thing is, people need to keep that connection with this holy land. It's very important for our recharging our battery. And finally, I want to say that God, the Lord himself, he has given us this legacy. He never has done before. Swami has left this Satsai organization, as I said. Avatar himself lent his sacred name so that it is for us, not for him. He doesn't need any organization. It is for our own good, so that we have a platform or a where we can all get together, practice his teachings, and as I said, the ultimate purpose, realize our own divinity and help our fellow brothers and sisters to realize their divinity. So that is the reason he made the organization. And then he formed these wonderful institutes, medical institutes, where they give the completely free health care and done not only freely, but the state of the art technology with love and compassion. And then he established the educational institutions where kindergarten to doctoral level, completely free education, where it is not only free education, in addition to academic excellence, where Swami emphasizes character, character development. These institutions, and then social service projects, mammoth water projects and other projects, where they help the needy people. So when he has established that, he is our Divine Mother and Father, so he has given us, his children, these things to take care of. So it is our duty and obligation to participate in these wonderful institutes which he has established, take more and more active part in that, support this and participate. He doesn't need that, his mission, let me tell you, he himself said his institutes will go for thousands of years. Whether we are there or not, it will go. But when he gave us the opportunity, we need to make use of his. So if we don't, we are the losers. He is not the loser. So I really think we should take the serious commitment how best we can participate, because that is the greatest divine blessing.
Beautiful, sir. As you mentioned that Swami doesn't need the organization or the institution or any of us. I was just reminded of another incident from the life of Vivekananda. After Vivekananda returned from America, he was propagating this value of reaching out and asking the monks to go out and serve and not just confine themselves to doing rituals and worship. And many monks really disliked this because they felt that he was actually not following the dictates of Ramakrishna Paramahansa, because the master apparently used to spend a lot of time in meditation and prayer. And so they felt that Swami Vivekananda didn't understand the teachings of the master. And Vivekananda at this point, he got this strong notion that here were a bunch of his brother disciples who wanted to create a narrow sect in the name of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa. So he saw that they wanted to convert this Ramakrishna Math into some kind of a cult of a temple where you have all the activities centered around devotional music, worship and prayer. And he took this upon himself to destroy this notion. His words actually burst upon them like a bombshell, and he asked them that, did they really understand the words of the master? And he said, do you want to shut the master, do you want to shut Ramakrishna Paramahansa, who is the embodiment of infinite ideas, within your limits? And he says, I will break these limits and scatter the master's ideas all over the world. That's what he tells them. And then he says, you have never understood the master's message. And what he finally says, I just read this just 2 days ago. He says, Sri Ramakrishna is far greater than the disciples understand him to be. He is the embodiment of infinite spiritual ideas capable of development in infinite ways. One glance of his gracious eyes can create 100,000 Vivekanandas in one instant. If he chooses now instead to work through me, making me his instrument, I can only bow to his will.
Give this opportunity for us to be part of his mission. If you don't make use, that is why when you said that Swami Vivekananda said that helping the poor, that is why he is the first one to coin the word Daridra Narayana Seva. To serve the poor is the service to God. But our Swami went even higher up. That is why Swami, everything is the highest Vedanta, highest philosophy. He says, don't use the word Daridra. Narayana Seva, that is it. That means serving the God. Daridra and Lakshmi, Lakshmi Narayana Seva, Daridra Narayana, is there's no upadhi. Yeah, for him, God is beyond rich and poor, beyond ignorant and scholarly. He is for all. So that is why Swami is telling, take this opportunity to be part of my mission. And we are really telling me, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we are the most blessed and fortunate. We should be grateful every moment to Swami for giving us this opportunity to be part of his mission, to be able to serve him and serve our fellow beings.
Thank you very much, sir. You came to the studio and spent more than 1 hour with us. I really express my deep sense of gratitude for the trouble you have taken to come to the studio and share your feelings, experiences that you have seen in the last 2-3 years, and the message that you convey to all the devotees, Sai brothers and sisters all over the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thanks Swami and the Radio Sai and all the listeners for this opportunity to share Swami's message and love. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, you were listening to the second part of a conversation with Dr. Narendranath Reddy from California, USA. A distinguished internist endocrinologist, Dr. Reddy's association with Bhagwan spans over 5 decades. He is currently the chairman of Prashanti Council, which oversees the activities of International Sai Organization. He is also a director of Sri Satya Sai World Foundation, which looks into the legal and financial matters of worldwide Sai organization. This conversation was recorded in the studios of Radio Sai on November 27, 2012, a couple of days after Baba's 87th birthday. And in conversation with Dr. Reddy was Radio Sai's Bishupurushti. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening, and please do share your comments and feedbacks about this to listener@radiosai.org. Sai Ram.